Oh, it is that time of year again, gentlemen, when actors are judged and evaluated.
By actors, usually.
Like show ponies. Wait. Like show dogs.
It's the People's Choice Awards?
No. No, it's the highest accolade of all, the highest and last accolade of all, the Oscars. They're tonight. Are we excited?
Yay.
Wow, that didn't really sound very exciting. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 378, Evaluating the Best. Last week, I left the frigid Midwest and the polar vortex of Chicago, where I was doing just fine, thank you, and returned to my former home of Los Angeles, where I promptly caught a cold. But that has not dimmed the pleasure of working again with Jerry Kernahan and, of course, Dominic Conti. We've been working with Michael Faulkner not only on all the great books abridged, which the four of us plus Reed Martin will perform here at Laguna Playhouse for the next month, not all at once, obviously, but also we were working on the complete history of comedy abridged, which Dominic, Jerry, and Michael will perform at Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts. Now, Dom, Jerry, and I were doing a tech dress rehearsal of books yesterday, but with time and my voice running short, we got in a, you might say, reduced conversation about the Academy Awards, which were last night, and the whole aspect of the subjective analysis of acting anyway. It's Sunday, March 2nd. In the afternoon, the Oscars are tonight. We're at Laguna Playhouse teching all the great books abridged. So we're recording this before we actually see the outcome of the Oscars. But we were having an interesting conversation about this whole notion of comparing performances and evaluating actors anyway. I don't have a knee-jerk reaction thing against it. I mean, I think, yeah, sure, what the hell? You want to acknowledge great work. I understand the impulse. But does it feel like the real good work is getting acknowledged?
Sometimes not. And I think my biggest beef is something that people naturally do, and it's not necessarily bad, but I guess I don't agree with it, is they think the idea of best actor goes to our best actors in a cumulative effect sort of way, mm-hmm. where I think it really we need to narrow it down to just that year and the meeting of that person in that role, and what was the best performance that year, especially right. merging a person and role. And I think a great example was Joe Pesci for Goodfellas, because that was really the best supporting acting performance that year.
Right.
And that's why they gave it to him, and that was absolutely so earned and so right.
Right.
You know, and I think if like Lex Frey, for example, just for an example, someone didn't like Matthew McConaughey as a rule.
Yeah.
Now, he's been on a pretty good streak lately, but let's say they were thinking of like with some other things that they didn't like early on or whatever,
right.
or romantic comedies.
Right.
But this year, I'll feel like he's really been robbed if he doesn't get Best Actor, because I think that was the greatest merging of a man and then that particular role in that year.
Right, so you should leave all the prejudices, all the previous roles out of the conversation.
Hard for people to do, that they naturally will do that, but I think they should. I think that's really what it is.
Yeah.
Although it says best actor, you know, they don't really, I'm adding
limitations
to it.
No, but I think it says best actor in a leading role.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I think you're right, Don. I think that's the idea, the intent is that it's supposed to be the best performance of that year.
Yeah.
But sometimes people, they get skipped over. They give a great performance, they get skipped over, and then another 2 years down the road, they give another one, and then they'll get nominated, and you go, well, wait, that was good, but that really wasn't as good as 2 years ago. But you'll find that the voters will vote for them because now they're like, well, we can give it to him now because we made a mistake 2 years ago.
Well, the classic example of that is Jeremy Irons, who didn't win for Dead Ringers and won it next couple of years ago for the Sonny
Bulow movie, whatever that was called.
Yeah. So, and he even said that up on stage when he accepted the award. He said, well, I know this is for Dead Ringers.
He did?
Yeah.
Well, I don't recall that at all.
Yeah. So, And you're right, Dom. I totally agree with you. But in that instance, I kind of go, yeah, they should have given it to Jeremy Irons.
Yeah,
I'll buy that.
Is that fair to anybody that was nominated against Jeremy Irons that year?
You know? You're right. Is it fair? No. Is the whole notion
of comparing actors like show dogs. Well, is that fair? I guess you're right.
Talking? Wait, you're telling me now that this acting business is not fair?
Spoilers.
I was starting to come around to that, unfairness. Oh, yeah, and I didn't want to believe it. But here's another thing I think that, some of the bigger movies will get more...
Juice.
For example, I remember either last year or the year before, Linda Cardellini did a small movie called Return, and she just rocked it. She didn't get nominated. I thought, oh, come on, though. Just so good. And I think the movie was tiny and didn't make, I don't know what it made, but probably not huge bank. Right. And so, I think she did get passed over a little bit for something, and that was just a wonderful indie movie that was just, I think, in a performance that was so deserving that year.
Well, and you, Dom, you see a lot of movies. You do. Jerry, do you see a lot?
I do. Probably at least one or two a week.
Wow. I mean, because I don't have to see anywhere near the amount of movies.
I do. Yeah, Jerry might even go out and see them. But between renting and screeners and Redbox and Netflix, I'm covering a lot of bases. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm sneaking in. I sneak in.
Oh, good. You second act them?
Yes, I second act the movie.
This whole notion of, the conversation about Best Picture, King's Speech won a couple of years ago. I didn't have a problem with it winning. I thought it was a perfectly fine movie, but I thought they should name the category Best Picture of the kinds of movies that get nominated for Best Picture. Do you know what I mean?
We'll see what kind of legs that picture will be. Are they going to be watching that?
Yeah.
People are going to be watching that 50 years from now.
I mean,
that should tell us a bit of a story, too.
I agree. I mean, my pet peeve is that some genre movies don't get the recognition they deserve. It might have been even the same year, but I think Edgar Wright is a phenomenal director. He did Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. I think his Scott Pilgrim versus the World or Against the World, whatever that was called, I thought that was really one of the best pictures of that year. Oh. I thought it was a great romance. I thought it was a great comedy. I thought it was a great action movie. I mean, I just thought it had a lot of good work going on.
Certainly was inventive.
Yeah. And so, I mean, for my money, if I were nominating, that's the kind of thing I would look a little more outside the box, I guess.
And there were a couple movies like that this year. The Here and Now? I'm not going to remember the names, but there was a couple small movies, real little small romantic comedies that were really brilliant films that never even got a chance.
Well, and like an example of that might be Enough Said, the movie with Julia Louis-Dreyfus and James Gandolfini. Now, that had a little juice on it because she's hot on Veep, and Gandolfini was one of his final roles. Yeah. And I think it was a perfectly lovely little movie. I'm not sure it was a Best Picture kind of a movie, but I certainly thought it was lovely.
Hi, I'm Roy Conley from Disney Animation Studios, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Well, our 3-month 60-city UK tour of the Bible, the Complete Word of God Abridged, continues across Great Britain this week with performances in Bedford, Grantham, Borehamwood, Eastbourne, Tenterden, Maidstone, Diss, Lincoln, Barnard Castle, New Brighton, Cardiff, Neathport, Talbot, Nottingham, Kendal, Gainsborough, Burnley, Bradford, Llanelli, Holyhead, Stockport, Stourport, Burton-upon-Trent, Durham, Southport, Barrow, Inverness, Keswick, Wakefield, Buxton, Westacre, Andover, Loughborough, Wellingborough, Tewkesbury, Solihull, Croydon, and Chipping Norton. Tomorrow night, we begin performances of all the great books abridged at the Laguna Playhouse in Laguna Beach, California, where we'll perform until March 30th. Next week, we'll perform The Complete World of Sports abridged in La Crosse and Green Bay, Wisconsin on March 12th and 13th. And then Dominic, Michael, and Jerry will perform The Complete History of Comedy abridged from April 24th to May 18th at Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information.
But Dom, a thing that you were saying, so the actor in the role brings me to the conversation of I'm going to get his name wrong, Barkhad Abdi from Captain Phillips, the Somalian actor or the Somalian taxi driver who's living in the Twin Cities and gets cast in this role. I mean, I don't think that guy had an enormous amount of range or acting work ahead of him. But I thought he was super good in that movie. Wow. Is that the kind of thing that you're talking about? The match of the actor to the role?
It might be an example of that. I kind of don't agree with that nod, but because I felt
Well, that's interesting. Why don't you? Why?
But for I think he really reacted well, but in a lot of ways, he didn't even show a lot of crazy range even within that movie.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, he's very expressive.
Yeah.
Boy, he sure's got something. I wasn't. Maybe it just had to do with the lines. It felt like he kept repeating the same lines. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, come on.
Well, and he held the screen in a way.
That's true too. There's something to that.
I mean, I don't disagree that maybe there was another more deserving actor in a role that might have been bumped by him.
Or just an actor. You know,
just,
I mean,
an actor.
An actor. You know, obviously he wasn't. And I think that I kind of am on the on Dom's side on this. Mm-hmm. I don't think he should have gotten nominated.
Mm-hmm.
I think that his performance was a product of Paul Greengrass's phenomenal direction and the circumstance.
Yeah.
Now, he still had to come there and still had to show up and bring it.
Yeah.
And he did. But I think that Paul Greengrass, the style he directs in and his editing made that performance what it was.
Yeah.
And I think that people gave him the nod because what Greengrass did than what he did.
It's interesting. Yeah, it always blows my mind that actors who win awards don't thank their directors and their editors and their casting directors enough. Because if it weren't for the editors and the directors making all the choices in the editing room, you know, there could have been some pretty crappy performances up on
screen. That's a great point, yeah.
You know? Did Greengrass get nominated for Best Picture? I mean, for Best Director?
I think he did, but I don't think... Well, maybe he didn't.
Yeah.
I know Tom Hanks didn't, which I think is a travesty.
Yeah.
I think Tom Hanks in that last scene,
yeah.
Spoiler alert, it's one of the last scenes, that performance that he gave in that 2 to 3 minute shot, straight shot, where Greengrass just left the camera on him, I think is better than almost any of the other guys that did get nominated.
Yeah.
Save maybe McConaughey, because I think McConaughey stood out. Really great in Dallas Buyers Club.
Cool. Oh, boy, it's funny, when all the awards are happening and it's Christmas time in January, I wasn't in the mood to really see all those movies, mostly because I was just exhausted from doing comedy so long.
Right.
But now that the award season is almost over and people are really talking about it, and maybe because the heat isn't so hot, I can kind of go see them now with an open mind,
mm-hmm.
Do you know, now that the votes are cast or whatever.
Oh, right, now that it's kind of done, yeah. But don't miss Dallas Buyers Club.
Well, and Jared Leto apparently is phenomenal.
Again,
really.
Yeah,
really
I would like to see him win for that. And I'm not even thinking about any previous performances. I like McConaughey and I like Jared Leto just fine. But that year, those guys should sweep that.
So of those of the movies that I've seen, I guess my predictions will be, and my hope will be, that Alfonso Cuarón gets Best Director for Gravity, and that 12 Years a Slave gets Best Picture. Again, these are the kinds of movies that get nominated for Best Picture. So of those movies, that would be my vote.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking about what makes a best picture, and 12 Years a Slave for me feels like, well, it's important, with a capital I, you know. We need more movies about slavery, but we also need to find ways to tell the story of slavery in a different way, so it's not the same story every time.
Right, but does every movie about slavery then require that kind of... preciousness, because I feel I
it was
like,
a little serious.
Listen, I like the movie. You can't take anything away from the direction, the screenplay, the story is just beautiful.
All the actors are
great. But maybe I came to the party a little late. I watched it later, and so maybe people had overblown it for me.
Yeah.
But I was not as moved by that movie as I thought I was going to be, as I thought I should be.
Yeah.
And maybe that's my own guilt coming in, you know, as being from the South. Maybe I should have been more moved, and I wasn't. And I just felt like there were better movies this year that did do that for me.
Right.
And it's a very, very good movie.
Right.
One far better than I could ever make. But I just, I think it's going to win.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that it might be winning, not for the exactly right reason.
Well, and but in that way, I think it would join a lot of Best Picture winners.
Yeah.
Gandhi, Out of Africa, important with a capital I movies that get awards, but you kind of go, ooh. Was that really one of those deserving ones?
Or important with a capital I performances, like Meryl Streep performs as, as the Iron Lady, and then she gets a nomination and an award. I mean, can't we just say it was a good performance and leave it at that?
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your favorite acting performances and best pictures, or just fulsome praise about how accurately I predicted the best picture and best director winners, via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, best supported actor Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Shannon Barnsley. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Roy Conley from Disney Animation Studios, which won 2 Oscars last night for Frozen. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 378 1134ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
We got to go do the second act of books. Any other final thoughts about what should win, what should not win?
Best actor in the second act of a comedy, Jerry Kernan.
I got to say, the merging of actor and role is pretty good there. Yeah.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.